Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
Now, Patrick was on and he says the Irish state has no regard for our ageing population. As a former carer and having fought the state and HSE just for survival over 17 years caring for our beloved mum, it meant nothing to the powers that be whatsoever. There's no respect for the elderly. Closing care homes. Let us not forget how our elderly people were treated in the COVID lockdown, and I for one lived that experience and lost precious time due to bad management in the hands of our government, says Patrick. Somebody else saying Roderick O'Gorman's plan is flawed. He'll supply 14,000 beds in the next 3 years, but import 16 to 20,000 asylum seekers per year. So we'll have 46,000 homeless in 3 years' time, not including our own homeless figures. Joan says it's a horrible thing to do, Fran. Saved his wife in his phone as ball and chain. It's not about insecurity where his wife is concerned. It's just no respect. I'd kill him, says Joan. And put a new meaning as well on the silent treatment and the cold shoulder too, says Joan, who would not take any prisoners whatsoever. Listener says, I only half heard what you said about Sinn Féin and the hate speech. What is the story? Sinn Féin, they're calling for the hate speech proposed laws to be scrapped. Now, of course, that's despite the fact that party TDs previously voted in the Dáil to support the legislation. And I think what you might be talking about is what I referenced earlier on, that Leo Varadkar is in the newspapers, I think it's the Daily Mail, I saw it, in fact, where he said that he has never witnessed so much cowardice from a political party as he has from Sinn Féin following its U-turn on support for hate speech legislation. So maybe that's what you're making reference to. All right, then let me move on, because a commemoration for Thomas Clark will take place this Easter Sunday in Cluain. The South Tipperary village has strong links to the Irish Patriot, with Clark's mother hailing from Cluain. Joining me now is local author and historian Tom Hennessy to tell us more. Good morning to you, Tom.
Morning, Fran. Just to clarify there, Fran, it's on actually Easter Saturday, and we're assembling at 11:45 outside the community hall there on the left-hand side, just up from PJ English's fruit and veg shop. And PJ and myself basically started this commemoration 3 years ago.
Very good. So it's Easter Saturday, and I beg your pardon about that. It's just incorrectly written here. Tell me a little bit about Clark, will you? Because he seems to be one of the relatively unknown members of the provisional government that instigated the Easter Rising. Would you agree with that, Tom?
Yes, I suppose. Look, he was the driving force behind the Easter Rising, himself and Sean McDermott. And without Thomas Clark, like this is a man that did 15 years in horrendous conditions in different British prisons. O'Donovan Rossa, Dynamite O'Donovan Rossa, had sent him over on a Fenian bombing mission to London, and he was arrested under the alias of Henry Wilson. And he defended himself in the court, which kind of shows the kind of man that he was. And he was unrepentant Fenian. He went out in 1916, like most of those great heroes. He went out to make a stand, and he paid the ultimate price. But as I say, he's revered amongst Irish Republicans.
And will you tell us about the Tipperary connection, Tom?
Yeah, so we're very lucky where we're living here in the lovely Vee Valley. Mary Palmer was Tom's mother. She hailed from Cluain. There's a plaque on the house which you can see. We'll be passing the actual house on Saturday, and we'll pause there. A lone piper will lead us past the house. And Mary was rare there. She married James, who was in the British Army, who was Tom's father. He was from Leitrim. And the hall where we're actually assembling is the actual old church where they got married. So, like, you're talking about, you're touching history, like. It's like stepping back in time, like. So Tom was born then on the 11th of March in 1858 in the Isle of Wight. He spent his childhood in South Africa. Obviously, as his dad was in the British Army, they travelled quite a bit. And he moved to Dungannon as a teenager. And his mother, Mary, of course, would have had a huge influence on him. And Kathleen Clark is quoted in her book about her husband saying that his mother filled his young, impressionable mind with stories of the great Irish people and stories of it went into his head, I suppose, as a land of fairies. And he would have been, I suppose, as any mother would have, she had a big impression on him.
Yes, so there was that romantic notion of Ireland,
yes.
I suppose.
Yeah. Now, his dad, on the other hand, when Tom started to show strong patriotic and republican leniencies, his dad, who was in the British Army, said to him, "Tom, defying the British Empire was like banging your head against the wall." But it fell on deaf ears because Tom went on, and in 1878, he hears John Daly, the great Fenian from Limerick, speaking in Dungannon. And he then realises that his whole life ambition was, to destroy every vestige of British authority in Ireland. So we have, moving on then, we have a riot in August 1880. Tom's involved in it. There's a member of the British occupation forces damaged in that, and he flies to New York, gets away from Ireland. He was going to be a wanted man. He joins Clonmacnoise, and then he signs up to go on the bombing campaign, which, as I say, O'Donovan Ross organised.
And does that concern you at all, that he seemed to have no kind of moral qualms, indeed, about killing civilians, for example? And indeed, in fairness, he had no fear about losing his own life through these emissions either. But does that have any... Does that cause you concern in any way?
I suppose, as you know, Fran, our country's history is one of occupation, and we'd, as I say, like, we'd everything. Remember, we'd the famine, which would have filled people. I suppose you go back down through the centuries. Like we're a country that has a hard history, you know. I would call as the famine. I would refer to it as a genocide, because we do know that food was transported out of the country. Mm-hmm. But just before I forget this, you know, it's an instant point you say there. Like, our history has to be told, and one of the things I heard people talking about the hate speech there. One of the things that I'd be worried about that is that it'll stop us talking about our history and our culture. And in fact, bands like the Rebel Hearts and our music that tells a story, all that could be curtailed if someone decides that they're offended by it. So you have to tell the true story of our history, Fran.
And you can't allow that to be diluted in some way for fear of offending somebody.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Exactly, and you learn from your history, but it has to be told, and it's very important, and that's why the likes of Thomas J. Clark, I suppose, he saw what was being done to his country, to his homeland, and that led him into devoting his life to free us from English occupation.
The nature of his execution as well, he was executed along with Pierce, obviously, but he didn't want a blindfold, for example. He was...
So
there was a bravery, I suppose, about how his life ended. And
I remember, like, 1914, the First World War started, and Sean McDermott and the two, Tom Clark, both agreed that if this thing passes without a fight, I don't want to live. So, like, they clearly had their minds met up, and it's like General Maxwell, when Kathleen Clark, who was actually a niece of John Daly, and that's how Tom met Kathleen Clark, when she asked for Tom's body after he was shot in the Stonebreaker's yard, he refused, and he's quoted saying, "Irish sentimentality will turn those graves into martyr shrines," and how right he was.
He was also, I think, if memory serves me correct, where the O'Donovan Rossa was concerned, was he instrumental in dramatising that almost in terms of getting PR?
100%. And of course, we know, and you'll see the pictures in all the old books, and he's seen moving through the crowd, and his words to... He picked Padraig Pearse to give the oration,
yes.
And his words to Padraig Pearse were, "Make it as hot as hell." And of course, with Padraig Pearse, the famous saying at the end of it is, "Ireland on free shall ever be at peace. Like, the fools, the fools, the fools, they have left us our Fenian dead."
And is it from that that we had Romantic Ireland is Dead and Gone, It's with O'Leary in the Grave? Was that a separate
that
oration?
That was WBA, I think
it was a separate oration. In terms of Saturday, then, everybody, I guess, is welcome along to this.
100%, a community-led commemoration. And I asked Paige English, the mighty local man there in Cloheen. I said, PJ, when's the last time a lone piper marched up, paraded up through Cloheen? And he said, Jesus, I can't remember, Tom. And he said, it could be 100 years. So it's history in the making.
Well, isn't it just? Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a great turnout there as well. Yeah. Before I let you go, Tom, can I ask you about you? Because am I hearing rumours that you're throwing your hat in the ring and going forward for election?
Yes, indeed. I'm proud to say I'm standing as an independent in the Clare area, Fran, and I want to be, what's going on around me, there's no point in just shouting at the radio. I want to get out there and I want to make a difference. I want to be the voice of what I call the silent majority, and I aim to do that, Fran. And can I just say, today I'm passionate, I'm involved with the Sean Meehan Save Sean's Cabin Group, and today Sean is meeting the local council, the homeless section. He received a letter yesterday, and he's in there today meeting them. Sean's treatment has been horrendous. He's had no outreach from any government councillors. In fact, I want to say that the treatment is just unbelievable. We had a government agency on post. Made a mistake with the delivery of his retention envelope, and it reached the office of An Bord Pleanála a day late. It was in there at 7:45, and An Bord Pleanála refused to accept it. And he has a letter of apology from An Post, and he's in the position he's in now, heading for prison on Thursday next in the court case in Cashel. And this is what's happened to one of our own people.
And what else is on your agenda? So you have individual cases like that, but I mean, what's important to you?
I just want to say that immigration. Okay, I know it's in the news, but I want to call on election. I will be calling for a complete pause to all immigration into our county. And I also want to ask the question now, why have none of our councillors in Tipperary passed the motion like was done in Mayo, and I think Donegal might have done similar, to stop correspondence with Roderick O'Gorman's office? And the reason I say this is that we know, I've three relatives in the health business, we know that the lists for dentists, for doctors and hospitals, we do not have the infrastructure. And what's going on with these refugees and asylum seekers is totally unfair and inhumane. And another thing I want to say before I forget is, the people of Ross Grey, great people, they were vilified for making a stand. Bord Fáilte have spent years building up our tourist industry, and now we have a situation in Ross Grey where the only hotel is gone. My family come from up that side, from Connachenny side.
And have you any concern, Tom, about, you know, going on this platform? Needless to say, you'll be branded as racist. You'll be branded as being a bigot in some ways. Does that concern you?
No, anyone that knows me will know that that's far from the truth. And I want to say the people of Ross Grey then have to listen to a government minister talking about a derelict building that can be used as a hub or something.
A community hotel, yes.
If you saw this stuff on The Simpsons, you wouldn't believe it. That's my main reason, basically, Fran, for going forward. I want to be the voice of the silent majority. And you are vilified if you say certain things. But I think now people are starting to realise that we've had a cartel running the country for a lot of years. We have a housing crisis in Tipperary, and I think we need to do a full audit of our own situation. We have over 13,000 Irish citizens, in trouble. So, let's be real about this. Now, another thing I'll be passionate about, I have a daughter with Down syndrome. She's 8 years on a waiting list to get respite. You know, so, this is what's happening. And I come from a background, Fran. I've been self-employed all my life. I went back to college as a mature student, and I know what it means to have to get out and earn a living. And I think we have people like our new Taoiseach, Mr. Harris there, a career politician since he was 20. Like, I'd say he doesn't I'd say he would not know what it's like to have to meet a bill at the end of the week or to make sure you've cash
and
flow.
And are you saying to me, Tom, that, I mean, here we are concentrating on things like hate speech or that referendum that turned out unfortunate from the government's point of view, but the people certainly spoke. But are you saying that our concentration is on issues that are unimportant by comparison to what is out there and the issues you mention?
Yeah, the ordinary people, like, as I say, I'll be standing in the care area. I also see a thing there now where the government just think it's a great thing to bring more charges, parking charges, into our town. And I know that the hotel and care have to be knocked and they're putting a car park in there. And now there's more than likely, there is actually going to be charges in the whole town, like, but that's not being talked about at all. They're talking about it's great that we're going to have extra parking, but it's all a money racket, basically.
Yeah, well, this is part of the green ideology, and I suppose, and their input into the programme for government as well. So
yeah, well, I'll tell you one thing, Fran. And I do intend on getting a seat if the people of Care area are good enough to put me in there. The one thing I won't be doing, I won't be part of a cosy cartel, and I won't be saying yes to everything. And I'll be asking hard questions. And, and I'd be proud to go in there and represent ordinary people, the silent majority. Mm-hmm. And as I say, so that's my reason for going
forward. Well, Tom, I hope we can have a more in-depth conversation in the weeks to come. And we want to wish you the very, very best. In the meantime, Easter Saturday. Clohean is the place to be.
2 seconds before I forget, Sean's Cabin, next Thursday, Sean Meehan will stand in front of a judge at 10:30 in Cashel. I'll be in there, I'll be at the court. I'm asking all the people of Tipperary and beyond to go to Cashel at 10:30 next Thursday and make a stand. Right. Because Sean Meehan is born, bred and reared, a highly respected family. He's of the Tipperary people, he's one of our own. And for Roger Cogorman, we hear this morning about Clonmel now going to be set up as one of these centres for them to be putting cabins in the middle of fields without planning permission all over the country. And one of our own Tipperary people.
Tom, I'm just about out of time, Tom, but thank you so much and we wish you well for Saturday. Thanks very much indeed. News and information is coming up.
Tip Today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. You can't beat experience. With over 50 years maintaining Peugeot cars and vans, we like to call ourselves the experts. Call Slattery's Garage for a free vehicle health check today. 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.